We've been dealing with missions and the mission of the church. And I've been given this a lot of thought in when we look at our missions and what our task it really is, what we're trying to do. And I want to make an initial statement, and then I'd like to for you to prepare, because I'm going to ask you later a question about how do you know that the living God is within you? What do you look for? And so it's going to be a volunteer thing. I want no long-winded statements. I want a statement that where you can share how you know. You wake up daily. You go through every day with that concept and to see how God adds to that and what He's doing. What I'd like to do today is to dwell on the theme that God never intended us to have an ordinary life. When you look at what Jesus said when He came, He said, "I have come to give you life." How? What kind of life? Not just an ordinary life, abundant life. And He's not talking about the length of life. When does life occur? When does life occur?
Long before you ever.
When is life happening? It's my fault for not asking the question, right? Life occurs now. That heartbeat, that is life. When Jesus says, "I came to give you life, and I came to give you abundant life," and He doesn't mean in the long term, He means right now. Well, how does that apply when He says, "I came to give you abundant life"? Anyone who is stuck in the past, who is still afraid of, who is still angry at, who still is stuck in the past, is not alive. Your mind is focused on that. Something could happen right in front of your face and you not even know it. I had that, I showed you that one on the gorilla. I'd love to show you sometime. It's absolutely incredible. One of the psychologists who has Christian background says that people can be so focused on something. For instance, when an individual comes up and somebody told you that, boy, they're grumpy and they're cranky or they're this or that. Guess what your mind is doing? Guess what you're looking for? They've already persuaded you and now you're looking for this and this. A bunch of wonderful things that happened, but you're looking for this and this, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, there it is. Boy, they were right. When Christ says that He wants you to be alive, alive this second, and look at the way He made us that way. We now know, and I don't know who sat down and counted this, but they can verify that every second, there are 4,000 bits of information every second coming into your conscious mind. Wow, look what He made us capable of. But the thing that takes your strength out is that same second, 40 million bits of information are coming into your subconscious mind. And we're not even aware of those. So God built us with that ability to be fully alive this second. And you may have a little child come up to you and you'd be so involved with other people that here's this child that has some question or wants to show you something, and you could miss it. Wants you to be fully alive this second. And one who is looking into the future. Now, I've had people that I've talked with that when you try to lead them to Christ or when you try to share with them some of the things about what God wants to do, many of them will shut their mind off because they know that somewhere down the future, a, quote, time of trouble, time of torment, time of torture is ahead, and they don't want to even think about it. But we also can be so caught up with what's going to happen tomorrow. We forget that God took care of tomorrow a long time ago. It says He's working in advance to prepare us. He did that for today, for me. He's already taken care of that. And everything I face, He's given me the strength. He's given me the ability to be able to go through this day. So if I'm worried about tomorrow, and isn't that what Christ says? Take no thought for tomorrow. If God is so involved in this world that even a little sparrow fall. And it's interesting, when the Old Testament gives that glimpse of God in Psalm 87, gives that glimpse of God, one of the things they mentioned that even the little sparrows make their nest in His throne room. It tells you something wonderful about your Father. If He cares about that sparrow, you've got to believe that He took care of this day. So being fully alive, I came that you might have life, you might have it abundantly. Not an ordinary life. And then Jesus said, I came to set you free. And then He adds, it's for freedom that I set you free. Well, how can that be? If you're free, you're free. No. No, you're really not. It's amazing how everything man creates, he's got to find a way to either imprison himself or imprison other people. Look at all the religions on the face of the earth, ours included. We can look at it in such a way that our belief system imprisons us. So, what is our mission? We have come in contact with a God who is able to supply our needs abundantly. When we look at the God, Yahweh, Nissi, all kinds of different meanings, but one of them is the mighty breasted one. One who is able to provide everything that you need. So this is no ordinary God. This is no ordinary person who has discovered Him. And you never stay the way you were when you met Him. God doesn't deal with that. You can always tell in the desert where there's water. You may not see a wet spot, but what gives you an indication that there's water there? You see trees, things grow, things are green around there. So Jesus says, when I meet you, I am planting you by a river of life. And life flows through it. So from that context, what is our mission? We've talked about several things. From Israel, Paul, all kinds of things about our mission. What is our mission? What are we supposed to do? I was brought into this church thinking that my mission was to memorize everything that the Adventists believe. And I've done that. They put us through in Pacific Union College. You had to know from memory every single text, every belief system, and be able to show it and to quote right from the Scripture without having any Bible about the belief system. I thought, boy, I'm ready to go. Is that our task? To go and to make Adventists out of everybody? Well, what are we supposed to do? What is our mission? When Jesus used the commission, he said, he used such words as, "Let this light shine. Let it shine." When God met the children of Israel, and I heard another statement today, it just absolutely thrilled me, named Dr. Duda from Europe. And Reva was listening last night, and it was amazing. He was being interviewed by Dr. Graham Maxwell. And he says, they were dealing with the subject of freedom. He says, how do you know that you're free? He says, well, just look in the Old Testament. He said, the very law of God was written in the future tense. Yeah, this is a man who knows the Hebrew very, very well. And I just was thrilled because I thought I was the only one that was saying that. But come to find out, that's not it at all. When he discovered that the law of God was in the future tense, he realized all of Christianity is as a result of being exposed to life. Jesus says, I am the Word. I am the life. I am freedom. He who has the Son has freedom, has life. And it's not an ordinary life. I love this song by Casting Crowns. And it's talking about we are to thrive. God never intended us to be ordinary. So when we go out, God never intended us to stay static. That when the river of life flows through you, what happens? You grow. You grow in knowledge. And it talked about how Mary exposed Jesus to the Word of God every day. And how he grew in wisdom, how he grew in knowledge, how he grew in his understanding of who God is. So what's our mission? Our mission better have something to do with, who was it, St. Francis of Assisi? Yeah, no, not the Pope. good guess.
He was a Jesuit.
Yeah.
And the Jesuits are the ones who established the Catholic Church all over the world.
Yeah. Here was a statement. Here was a statement that he made. He said that we are to witness, and if sometimes we are to use words. I'm not saying it exactly. But we are to go out and to witness, and sometimes, if necessary, use words. Man, well, it knocks you back. You don't even realize that. And God has a mission, and that is to allow that light to shine through you. Well, what is that light? It's got to be the truth about what God is like. And the more that you get to know Him, know what He's like, the more that flows through, and you cannot shut that truth up in your heart. You can't shut it off. And so God is flowing through every one of us. Look at a few texts. Look at I marked a few of them down. In Matthew, would you turn to these real quick and to look at these? In Matthew 17:24 or 26, John 8, who has that one? John 8, somebody raise your hand real quick. Nobody willing or nobody brought a Bible? Yeah. look at John 8. Somebody raise your hand. You've got that one. I don't want to tarry too long. You'll take John 8, and if you'll read 33 through 36. And Romans 6 and verse 20. Who has that one? Ernie cuts this real short, and he says, okay, Ron, would you read Romans 6 and verse 20? 1 Corinthians 7. Who has 1 Corinthians? Somebody? Yeah, okay. 1 Corinthians 7, 21 through 22. And 1 Peter 2, 16. Who has that one? Somebody? She has that one. Yeah. 1 Peter 2, 16. Okay. Listen to what these scriptures are saying. First one in Matthew 17, 26. Who did I give that one to? I think I handed it down. Did you? Oh, you took John 8. Who took Matthew? Somebody real quick, get that one. Go to the next one. Somebody else read it. We can do it. We're wasting time. John 8.
They answered him, "We are Abraham's offspring and have never been in bondage to anybody. What do you mean by saying you will be set free?" Then Jesus answered them, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, whoever commits and practices sin is a slave of sin. Now a slave does not remain in the household permanently. The son of the house does remain forever. So if the son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free."
What version is that?
Amplified.
Amplified version. That's really good. So if the son sets you free, then you are
unquestionably
free. So here is a Jew saying, we are Abraham's children. And we're in bondage to no one. Really? What were they in bondage to? Huh? Yeah, to themselves, to their own thinking, their own contriving. They were in bondage to their own religion. And if you ever go and you start feeling a bondage because of something you're doing or something you're saying, because of your religion, look at it real closely and see what he's saying.
Matthew what?
Matthew 17:26. Thank you.
Peter said to him, Matthew 17?
I think so. 17:26.
Oh, Peter said to him, of strangers, Jesus said to him, then are the children free.
Okay. Another one in Romans 6:20. Yeah.
6:21 verse?
Yeah.
When you were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness.
Yeah. When you're a slave to sin, you're free from righteousness. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's like Luke saying, and there was no small stir. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. And then in 1 Corinthians 7, who has that? 7, 21 and 22.
While a slave, do not let it be concerned to you. But if indeed you are able to become free, rather than make use of it, For the one who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free person. Likewise, the one who was called while free is a slave of Christ.
Now, what does that mean, that you're free? You look at that, free from what? Well, Jesus came into this world to call people from the life of sin. He says, I'm going to set you free. Now, he doesn't take you from the prison of sin and put you in a prison of religion. He takes you from a life of sin and sets you out here, passes his goodness before you, so you have the freedom to choose. That's what he told Joshua before they went into the promised land. He said, look, I have set before you life and death. Choose life that you might live abundantly. So God never sets us, takes us from this and imprisons us with this. He takes us from that and sets us free so we can have a choice. And he never will put you in bondage to any religion. Never put you in bondage. You always have freedom to choose. And whenever you become a born-again person, he says, I give you a new heart and a new mind. And with that new heart and new mind, he sets before us every day life and death. Then he impregnates, then he fills up my life with the principle of love. The law of life for the universe. He lived to bless others. So he sets me free. He gives me this principle of love and sets me into the world. And every second of every day you have freedom to choose life or to choose death. To choose to follow or choose not to follow. Every single day, you have freedom. Well, what I have found out is that the less I know him, the more of a struggle I'm going to have. This brain is going to call out for those laws of what I followed before. Every single day, my cells cry out for that. And he says, I set before you life. Choose life that you might be filled with abundant life. That's what he chooses. And so our task, when we realize that we have been set free, that doesn't mean that that wipes away the law, because as I've shared with you before, Jesus says the law is a result of following me, not the obligation to follow me. And you go through and you look at every command in the Old Testament, every command, I'm being recorded. You who are listening, that are listening to my voice, listen to what it says. That God said that all of everything about religion is a result. Every promise every word that we have called a command in the Old Testament is written in the future tense.
It says in Psalm 9, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and I will rejoice in you, and I will sing praise to your name.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Thank you very much for reading that. So do you understand then, if we're serving that kind of God, what is our mission? Well, how would you define that mission? What would you say it is? Real quick, how do you see that mission? Yes.
To apply what you're saying to myself, many, many years ago, when I was in school, back in my 8th grade year, my wife could verify this. Talked with my 8th grade teacher many years after I graduated. To her, I was the meanest, orneriest, rottenest kid in school. the kind of home environment that I came from, I was one of those that felt exactly what you've been saying. You have the prison of sin, and you have the prison of the church.
Yes.
I didn't want anything to do with the church.
Absolutely.
And my behavior showed that.
Yes.
As time went on, and my surroundings changed a little bit, most of this class knows that I've been gone for the last 4 years on mission trips.
Yes.
And the focus of those mission trips is one thing. I want these kids to know my best friend, Jesus.
Incredible.
And so for me, that mission is to share that love of Jesus, because that's where the freedom is.
Yes.
That's where the abundant life
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
It's not whether I'm driving a new car, have the biggest house, fanciest clothes, or anything else. If I know Jesus, and He is my best friend, and I can convey that to the students and get them to know Jesus,
yes.
then they will live that yeah. abundant life.
Yeah. So, that's beautiful. I love one of the statements Mrs. White says, live in such a way that it forces people to say, what is it that drives you? What is it about you? We live in such a way to where that forces that question from within people. Not running around, tackling them, putting your knees on their shoulders, holding them down, and shoving the 7-course meal down their mouth. It's to live. To live the abundant life. And live in such a way where people ask you, what do you know? What is this? Well, what was it, Hezekiah? When they ask him, how did you get healed? Oh, come here and watch, look at my treasures. How did you get healed? Oh, come and look at all the gold we got in the sanctuary. How did you get healed? Look at all I have. And then Isaiah said, whatever you have shown them, they will own. They will possess it. And when you're asked, what do you tell them? How do you know on a daily basis that God dwells within you? What do you look at? I'm going to share what I see. I see that there are things inside me that used to be quite attractive. And I find that something has happened to my taste buds. Something has happened inside my life where that does not have the same appeal that it did before. That's one of the ways. When I open up the Word and I cry out to God, please, Lord, help me to know You better. I cannot remember a time that I left that without having an insight. God is waiting on tiptoes, as White says, on tiptoes, searching for those who are wanting to know Him. And when He finds them, He reveals Himself to them. All I'm asking you to do is ask that prayer. Open up your Bible. Ask that prayer. And God will teach you. So I told you at the beginning, I was going to ask you a question. And I would like to hear from those who feel like you feel comfortable saying something. Make it succinct. Make it fairly much to the point. I'd like to have people have an opportunity to do that. How do you know on a daily basis that God is alive, God is at work in your heart? Daily life. Who would like to share? Did you find that one of the things that changed within you was, I just don't like to treat people mean anymore? Something happens. Yeah. Do you have any stories you can tell on him? No. Anyone else? What do you see? Yes. Come
on. Throughout the day, as you know, as I'm retired and I have a chance to do the things I want to through the day, and I'm amazed at the creation that God has made and has taught us to draw from that the understanding of His creation, the detail of His creation, and the love that He put into each thing. We have an umbrella cockatoo, and to hold that thing and pet it when it could literally bite your finger off, and it's tried with her, but at any rate, to have him lay on me and look up at me like, I love you.
It's incredible.
And he'll tell you
incredible.
That I love you.
So that book about God in nature,
yes,
just draws
absolutely.
You.
And I'm reminded through the day when things happen that God is there and He's helped me through something. And it's just amazing to turn to God and with the least thing that you need and say, God, help me. And immediately, I have had it happen. Immediately, I got results.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that. How do you know? Yes. Say your name.
Yes. My name is Elvis.
Elvis. Yes. Okay.
And I think I would like to say this from my grandfather was an Adventist pastor back in Kenya, and as young as 7 or 8, I used to carry his Bible to church.
Yeah.
You know, and my being in church even now is because of him, because of that influence. And the legacy that he died when he was 90, but the legacy that I see from him was he didn't have to tell us a lot, but the way he lived his life, he was a very humble man. He always used to sing. And to us, his grandchildren, he left us more of that connection that you need to find a song, you need to pray for God to give you a song every day. And even now, even at work, a song would just come to my mind. And so all these old hymns, or then I would write them down so I don't forget. I take walks around. I feel like to know, being in God's presence, it's like that song day by day, and like, you know that song, right? I just feel like when God gives us the strength to find our tribe to move on and to be, it says He gives us each day what He deems best, mm-hmm. and He gives us the strength to face each day. Tells me that I'm in God's presence.
Yes. Okay. Very beautiful. Thank you so much. Anyone else? I'd love to hear how you know. I'd love to be able to carry that with me. Yes?
I need to preface this, I guess. A couple of weeks ago, Pat and I were out in West Texas at McDonald Observatory right outside the town of Fort Davis. And we go up on this mountain, big, beautiful telescopes, and the astronomers and all of their scientific explorations and theories is fascinating. We went back that night for a star watching party. Very dark skies, beautiful, beautiful stars. And during that whole day on the tour that night, we're hearing the astronomers and the scientists talk about the heavens and the stars, and this star is 100 million light years away, the constellations are moving, the explosions and all the things that are happening. And these folks are just absolutely fascinated by their study. And I am too. I'm bewildered and I know nothing about astronomy like they do. But I was really fascinated by their level of interest. Nowhere during that discussion did we hear anything about God. So what they're studying, they're searching for something, and they're looking at things that are very, very exciting to them. One of the items, one of the things, the topics they're looking for, they call dark energy, is the phenomenon of how the stars are moving and how things are happening and the speed. And they can't understand what's going on. So they call it dark energy, and they're putting a lot of time and energy in trying to explain that. If anybody comes up with mathematicians, scientists, astronomers, everyone's trying to understand dark energy. Well, I wanted to say, you guys ever heard about God, you know, but I didn't. But listening to them for that whole time, I really had confidence, you know, because they don't know what they're looking for. They're very excited about what they see, but they don't understand what they see. And my faith is very simple. I have seen, and I have felt, and I have touched the power of God.
Yes.
We do that right here in this room. We shake hands with fellow believers.
Yes.
I've seen the hummingbirds. You know, we've studied the hummingbirds. We're fascinated. So for me, I can see the power of God. And we feel it. We feel the emotion. And we know it's real. And unlike the astronomers, I think we have a very simple, everyday explanation of the power of God.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible. Listen, as you said that, this brought to mind, those whom Christ commends in the judgment may have known little of theology, but they have cherished his principles. Through the influence of the divine spirit, they have been a blessing to those about them. Even among the heathen are those who have cherished the spirit of kindness. Before the words of life had fallen upon their ears, they have befriended the missionaries, even ministering to them at the peril of their own lives. Among the heathen are those who worship God ignorantly. Those to whom the light is never brought by human instrumentality, yet they will not perish. Though ignorant of the written law of God, they have heard his voice speaking to them in nature, and have done the things that the law required. Their works are evidence that the Holy Spirit has touched their hearts, and they are recognized as the children of God. And I love where she says that in the kingdom, when we all are there and we have that wonderful banquet, we all gather together and there is an elevated place where Jesus is standing. And he says to them, welcome to my kingdom. I have prepared a place for you. And to go through that ceremony, and then he dismisses them and they go into the city of God. And there is that place prepared for you. And then he looks back, and there is a sea of people standing there with a question look. And it says that Jesus goes to them, and he says, hello, my name is Jesus. And you must wonder where you are. And he takes them down by the tree of life, and he has them seated there. And it's there that he tells them the story of the great controversy. Incredible of what God is doing. Now, there are going to be people in the kingdom of God that are there because they saw something in you. You lived in such a way. You smiled in such a way. And folks, I guarantee you, if you have to force it to come out and put a smile on when there's no smile in the heart, guess who knows you're a fake? They do. They do. But when the love of God so hits your heart that you cannot shut it up in the heart, live it. And when asked What is this about? Don't show them your religion. Don't show them all the things you have. Tell them simply what God has done for you. And don't force it on them. Notice how many times when people came to Jesus and asked him questions, the rich young ruler says, I've done everything. I've done all of these things. And Jesus sent him away and said, go study. What does it mean? And he gave them a text to go and to study. Often he would do that. And he didn't send them off alone. Who was by their side? The Holy Spirit was there as they were walking. And it's the same experience that people had. Those two people had. Chloe was Jesus' uncle and another friend. And they were walking on the road to Emmaus. And they were wondering, what happened? What happened to Jesus? Where was he? And it says that Jesus came beside them, and he appeared to them as a stranger. And he asked the question, what are you talking about? Are you a stranger that you've not heard what took place in Jerusalem? And they began to explain. And it says that Jesus started at the book of Moses and went all through the Old Testament and told those things to them, those things pertaining to himself. And what was their reply? Didn't our hearts burn within us? And often when I'm studying those lessons, I'm studying those texts, my heart absolutely burns over and over. I have fallen out of my chair and fallen on my knees and praising God for the insight that only He could give. That is exactly what He does, and He does that. But He can't do that if you're not exposing yourself to it. It's a wonderful, wonderful mission that God has given us to. And anybody can do it. Just stay alive, keep beholding. And you cannot shut that truth up in the heart. Father in heaven, I thank you for this quarter of being able to look into what our mission is. And I know you love your church. As feeble as it is, as full as it is, with all kinds of misunderstandings, you are so patient with us. And you have so much more to give us. But we have believed a lie, and we are hung up on that lie. I pray that you'll please guide us. Please be with the leaders of this church. Please be with us, that we may fully understand what it means to be touched by your Holy Spirit, and that we can go forth living life to the full and being ready to give an answer of the one who has made this change in our life. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.